This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. The Jewish holiday of Hanukkah began December 6th and continues through December 14th at sundown. Hanukkah honors the struggle of ancient Jews to restore the Temple of Jerusalem. A small amount of oil lasted for 8 days, and the Jews believed it was a miracle. It's not one of the high, holy holidays for Jews, but still remembered by lighting a candle and exchanging a gift each night for 8 days. The holiday represents light in the midst of darkness for many Jewish people. In honor of Hanukkah, this week's episode of Inside Appalachia will feature stories about how Jewish communities across West Virginia are struggling to keep their traditions alive, from ceremonies in a synagogue to the ingredients of Jewish cuisine. Religious traditions are intertwined in culture. For a preview of this week's episode, first, we're going to hear about Jewish food. The Charleston chapter of the Women's Zionist Organization of America recently invited the community to break bread for a traditional meal. The Taste of Jewish Cuisine is held every year to help finance a hospital in Israel. As Scotty White found out, the meal is more than a fundraiser. It's also a way to share the Jewish connections between food, family, and religion with everyone.
The women of the local chapter of Hadassah have been working since July to feed the community during the Taste of Jewish Cuisine held at the Temple of Israel in Charleston, West Virginia. Chapter President Lynn Meyer led the group of women on the monumental task of making 600 matzah balls, over 200 pounds of brisket, plus 34 pounds of noodle kugel, vegetables, and desserts.
We made briskets, which is a form of Friday night beef that we grew up with, long cooking. And I think probably if you were to go back to the origins of these things, most people have seen Fiddler on the Roof. They had to get things cooked before the Sabbath started, which is at sundown on Friday night and ends at sundown on Saturday night. And at no time during that time are they allowed to cook or clean or things like that.
Lynn grew up with those traditional meals, and cooking for the community brings back memories.
My mother cooked Friday night dinners, and I would do that now if any of my 5 kids and their families lived here. They don't. But Steve and I do it ourselves, my husband and I, and I'll always miss those Shabbat dinners, those Sabbath dinners.
For the Taste of Jewish Cuisine, Lynn also baked more than 800 loaves of challah. Challah is a bread that is typically served at the 3 Sabbath meals, Friday night, Saturday lunch, and Saturday afternoon. It also commemorates the manna that fell from heaven during the 40 years the Israelites wandered the desert after the exodus from Egypt. Challah is made of strands of dough woven together in a braid.
The origin of the braiding was something that I'm absolutely not positive of, but I think we all think that it started that of just intertwining your family lives together, putting the braid together so that your lives are intertwined.
Lives intertwined, much like the Taste of Jewish Cuisine was doing for the community. The room was filled with people from all walks of life, some members of the temple, but many people from the Charleston and the surrounding areas. They are smelled of fresh brisket and kugel.
My name's Isaac Foreman. I live here in Charleston. This is my daughter, Nora. She's one. She's getting her first bite of matzo ball soup. Nora, you want to say hello? No. She likes the matzo ball soup and the kugel. She didn't like the brisket, but it's a little hard for her to chew. Yeah, I think it's great to see everybody here coming out and trying the food and getting a taste of, the Jewish culture. I think it's wonderful because most of the people here are not members of the congregation. They're just people who came to eat some good food.
My name is Linda Taborowski. I'm the past president of Ladies Auxiliary of B'nai Jacob. I love the idea that we're together as a people in all different religions and belief systems, that we can enjoy each other and learn from each other and help each other and whatever we need to do. So it just makes me happy.
Linda says that the Charleston community means a lot to her. Her family's been here for a century. Her grandparents fled from Europe in the 1900s because of the pogroms, which were attacks on the Jewish people.
They came here in the bottom of a boat. Well, my granddad did anyway. It must have been horrible down there. And the bottom of a boat jammed in with the smells, the screams, the crying, and whatever else, no food, was better than what they had in the pogroms. And they taught my brother and me, especially here in Charleston, we look over that capital, they taught us that this is the most magnificent place on earth. No, so to us, Charleston saved us. And if you think how many things were lost over those years and what could have been and what we don't have to live here in West Virginia and in the United States, it's a blessed thing. So brisket's part of it. We can make our brisket and read from a Torah. Not at the same time.
And like the brisket that Linda remembers from her childhood, food connects people. The taste of Jewish cuisine also helps introduce these food traditions to the community as a whole. It also allows the next generation to sample their first bites of tradition. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Scotty White.
This week's Inside Appalachia episode also features Jewish music. For help with the episode soundtrack, Inside Appalachia's Roxy Todd went to the Temple Israel to speak with Rabbi Jim Cohn. Rabbi Cohn's musical collection of Jewish music is vast and varied.
Most Jewish ceremonies include singing, prayers and blessings sung in Hebrew.
This is the beginning of the Torah, the beginning of what Christians call the Old Testament, what Jews call the Hebrew Scriptures, and this is the first few verses of Genesis. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz v'haaretz hayta tohu vavohu v'choshech al pnei tohom v'ruach Elohim rachefet al pnei hamayim. Vayomer Elohim yior, vayior, vayar Elohim et haor ki tov, vayavdel Elohim bein haor uvein hachoshech.
I think one of the important things about music is that it touches places that words and ideas can't reach. So when you have a text that's considered sacred by a community, and you combine that with the areas of our brain and of our mind and of what we metaphorically call our heart that are not reachable simply by the text itself, you have a very powerful combination. And even for the people who can't understand the text itself, non-Hebrew speakers, the melody still reaches some inward place that is important to access. So within the context of a worship service, the music provides a dimension that isn't available through any other means.
But Rabbi Cohn wants people to know that Jewish music is more than the traditional Hebrew chants. He sets out a dozen CDs for me to sample.
I've got my ska and reggae Jewish music that I love to listen to.
Rabbi Cohn says this ska CD by King Django is one of his favorites, but there are others. Music with a swing tempo, music with a Latin American rhythm.
Jewish music is different not only depending upon the culture, the majority culture in which it's found, but also differs from decade to decade and from century to century. So music from Italy in the 17th century that's composed by Jews might be in Hebrew, but it might be sung to the motet form that was characteristic of that environment.
This piece was written in Italy in the 17th century by a Jewish composer named Salomone Rossi. Rabbi Cohn has been collecting this music for decades. He's fascinated by the way musicians are always reinventing what it means to play Jewish music generation after generation.
I love being Jewish and I love music, and to be able to integrate those two things gives a quality to my life that is deeply enriching.
And while the ska music is probably his favorite, there's one very silly one that he just had to play me right before I left.
Mm-hmm.
seen service all my days. I bid shalom to Flatbush Avenue in old Brooklyn, where I was born and raised.
This is the Soggy Matzah Boys playing their version of Man of Constant Sorrow, Man of Constant Suris. Suris means troubles in Yiddish. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
And you can hear the full episode of Inside Appalachia Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6. A podcast is also available from iTunes and on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:55. Variable cloudiness today. Temperatures will be in the 60s, clouding up tonight with lows in the 40s and 50s. Partly cloudy and warm on Saturday with temperatures in the 60s and low 70s. Partly sunny on Sunday, continued warm with highs in the 70s. Singer and songwriter Craig Finn is best known as the frontman of the punk-influenced band The Hold Steady. But in his solo work, Finn turns his focus to quiet themes of perseverance and redemption. Here's Craig Finn with Christine on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
This song called Christine. To Memphis with some dentist that she met on some weird website. When she came back 3 days later, she couldn't speak for a week. At the diner after bar time, in the bright lights, eating French fries, she starts to cry. Christine reads the magazines, New York, Los Angeles, London. Everyone wants something. I just want Christine. She says, let's move to the city, stay up all night, live the high life. I said, maybe. First we visit, make sure that we like it. Christine reads the magazines, New York, Los Angeles, London. Everyone wants something. I just want Christine. I just want Christine.
Craig Finn with Christine. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glynis Bohr, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, and Liz McCormick. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.